Yeah,
and
right.
then you, it just gets rid of all that.
Right.
You're just so focused on living, surviving.
Right.
What I learned was when you're riding motorcycles, you're almost invisible.
Oh, you feel invisible?
Yeah.
Or?
Well, I noticed that, you know, people can't see you.
People can't see you?
No, it's like...
Is that like really they can't see you? Or it's just from how you feel that you completely isolated from the rest of the people on the street?
Well, just from my own experience and, you know, watching drivers, like, they're looking for trucks, they're looking for cars, they're looking for something that can mess them up. They're not looking for a little bike.
Oh, I see.
So they tune out anything that isn't a danger to them. That's what I realized, because I would focus on the drivers, especially on cars that could pull out in front of you.
Right.
And I would watch them. I would watch their eyes, and they would look right at me, and they wouldn't see me.
They wouldn't see
you. And
they
would pull out.
I see. Is that because you were fast, or is that because...
No, it's just a mental thing.
Oh, it's a mental thing.
It's a mental thing that drivers that don't drive motorcycles, they're not aware.
Oh, so they don't really think that the motorcycles are as dangerous as big trucks, because they are probably not as big to catch their awareness.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
They're just... not looking for little motorcycles, because that's not their priority. They're looking for a big semi.
Okay.
They're looking for another truck, another car. And so most motorcycles are kind of invisible.
Invisible to them, yeah.
Yeah, so it...
Is that a good thing, or is that a bad thing? Or?
Well, it is a bad thing, but once you realize that as a motorcyclist... you realize, okay, it's my responsibility to be seen and make sure that they don't run you over.
Right.
Or you don't be in a place where they will run you over.
I see.
So it's it makes you self-aware that, okay, I'm invisible. I'm going to ride around like I'm invisible. I'm going to, if I can, make them see me or hear me. So it's a, like a survival thing.
Right. So for the motorbike riders, right, they not just need to be aware of that riding too fast on the street is very dangerous. It could be dangerous to other people, but as well as being so not obvious to the main drivers on the street could bring a different level of dangers. So we want to recommend people who ride motorbikes be aware of this and find a way to not catch their attention by making noises. But what should we do?
Well, because my monster was pretty loud, I could rev it and people would hear me. Especially when I knew there was danger and there was somebody going to pull out in front of me. I could make more noise and they would kind of wake up and like, oh yeah, there is a motorcycle, and they would stop.
Right.
So there are some ways that you can like get their attention.
Right, but we probably in the cities, we probably... sometimes not allowed to bring too much noises, because there are some pedestrians and other people probably leaving the buildings,
and,
right?
Yeah, and a lot of the bikes aren't that loud anyway.
Right.
Like,
so what should we do otherwise?
It's best to like flash your lights.
Okay.
Flash your lights. Wear something that's going to be very visible.
I see, like the jacket,
the helmet. The helmet makes a big difference if it's white or something like really bright colored.
Right.
That gets people's attention too.
Okay, that's a very helpful suggestion.
And if you're wearing black, you're going to be even more invisible.
Right.
So it's not recommended to like always be wearing dark stuff. Because then you just become more invisible and then put yourself in more danger.
I see. And you mentioned about that one side is, it's a really good feeling that it gives us, or at least you, and I can imagine, and brings to other people who ride motorbikes, that it just feel the state of flow. Because I can imagine that. For example, I do rock climbing, and for rock climbing, for bouldering, that you don't have rope, right? Mm. So, of course, you are sort of protected because there's mat, but when you are high up there and focus so much on jumping onto the next spot, which could be really challenging, and this natural fear of death will bring you so focused, and that is also somewhere makes me feel alive and makes me feel like, oh my God, I'm so focused on this, the other troubles, other problems in life are just gone in my life or in my mind. So that is a really good feeling to be able to focus. And I think people who recommend meditations or some spiritual journey is also trying to reach certain type of goal. So riding motorbikes could be that way, as some other sports bring us the adrenaline and the dopamine release. However, on the other hand, you mentioned about that understanding what should not do, what should be avoided, is so important, no matter to do research and learn online, going to the training classes, or chat with your motorbike fan clubs, people or your friends, are just like, this is mandatory. Could you share with us from your experiences? Is there anything that really makes you feel like, oh my God, I almost made that mistake, or I made that mistake, so I need to avoid that. I need to tell other people this should be avoided. This is a mistake.
Yeah. One of the big things that I learned from watching other, you know, YouTubers and people that have ridden on bikes a lot, one of the things that kept coming up from all of them is they said, before you ride a motorcycle, you should be already preparing your mind. Like, before you leave, you shouldn't be like emotional. You shouldn't be like angry or something.
You
or upset. Yeah. You, for me, and this is what I used to do, like before going out, especially on a longer trip, like a couple hours, three or 4 hours, I would mentally prepare myself and just like put everything on the back burners. And it wasn't very hard because I wasn't very emotional anyway.
Yes, you were trained that way, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it didn't take me much because, you know, I wasn't like very emotionally unstable, sad or whatever. I would just shut all those down. The only one I had to control was the anger part and the rage.
Yeah, yeah. But, that's part of the emotions.
Yeah, but I was able to like shut that off because I realized, well, I'm the one in control of who sees me, where I am. Positioning yourself when you're in traffic is a very important part too. Because you don't want to be in anybody's blind spot, of course.
Right.
And sometimes when we're just riding and we're not self-aware of, you know, we're being invisible. And we're acting like they should know where I am.
Right.
They should be looking out for me. And it's not their responsibility to look out for you. It's you.
Yeah.
You're responsible for your own life. And that's what I put on myself. If I was in any danger, I always looked at it like I put myself in that danger. That truck or car that just about hit me or whatever, they're not the problem. I'm the problem.
You're the problem to
them
too.
So I realized, okay, well, it's my responsibility to avoid getting run over or hit.
Right.
So I would always be like thinking and watching like as far ahead as I can, like as far as I could see.
Right.
So I'm looking for lights, car lights, back lights, headlights, any kind of light or any kind of vehicle that could be moving.
Right.
I'm looking at all of them as a threat, and I got to get around it. I got to avoid it, and it's my responsibility.
Right. I think that is a very mature mindset, although not everybody has that mature mindset or responsible attitude, especially that from what I know, a lot of people who ride motorbikes or doing other things that are racing cars or do anything like just works, right? We always automatically or from our instinct is that, hey, you did this, you didn't remind me. That is, you know, you should have done this, you should have looked up for me, but this is not my fault. Or a lot of people would just, let's say everybody, including myself, grew up as a kid. And so it's just kind of, it takes some time and some experiences to step into the maturity, right? And you mentioned about this, I think it's super important because a lot of people just thinking about, I want to be so cool, this is going to make me feel so cool. And this already is a sign of not being super mature, and that could bring some potential danger. So instead of thinking about how cool we should be, for the beginners especially, we probably should start to think like what you said, oh, we should be, or I should be super careful, I should be super responsible for this ride today, because no other people should be responsible for what could potentially happen if I don't be fully focused, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before I even left, I already had my whole route planned out, where I was going, which roads I was taking, and how I was going to get back. When you start putting yourself in that, those things, you're not as reactive. You're kind of like following through a plan. And then as you're going through it, then you can focus your mind on other cars, other dangers. Sometimes there's a pothole in the road or something, or even something that fell off a truck or a car. And, you know, those things, if you run them over, that can end your day pretty horribly.
Right. Because I actually know people who, I mean, not directly the person, but I know at least two people who had their partners or other people, like their friends or friends of friends, actually passed away or died, let's just say, on their motorbikes or riding with them. So that was like, oh my God, that was a horrible news, right? Obviously, to who doesn't ride the motorbikes. But then later on, I realized that it happens often, and that's probably because of this. And I think you mentioned about one very important part is that just be prepared before you head on the road, right? So that we don't have to be really multitasking, where like from the, you know, decision making and neuroscience point of view or brain science point of view, there are like two systems, right? One is system one, which is intuitive and fast, and another one is rational and making decisions all the time. So if we do the preparation, we don't have to fully run our cognitive load, like basically our brain energy to analyze everything. We can be focused and not to think about if I'm going to this route and what should I do, because that way while you're thinking about this and you're riding so fast and maybe another car or something just happened, especially in Canada, there could be wild animal just pop up, and that could be also very dangerous, right? So that you have to be reactive but be proactively choosing things, choosing your behaviors, and also prepare choosing the route. It's just so important. There's a precondition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And so Well, like, is there any other experiences that you would, or suggestions that you would give to somebody who, let's say, somebody in Vancouver, let's say, I heard there's a route called C2 Sky.
Hmm.
And that is a super popular route for a lot of people to ride motorbikes, right, from Vancouver to...
Yeah, I remember hearing of that too, and I thought it would be great. And this is when I first started on the highways and stuff. So I decided, well, I'm going to go out and I'm going to have a blast and I'm going to do it. And so I did go out, and I remember not too much of it. It was just so dangerous, like the highways.
Here in Vancouver.
It's very windy.
When
like there's really tight turns,
like curves,
and stuff.
Okay.
And also there's a lot of fast drivers.
You mean the C2 Sky?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, specifically.
Because this is you're talking about going up to like Whistler, right?
Yeah, going up to Whistler, and I know that there are group of people. Let's say there are Chinese. A group of Chinese people who ride motorbikes like every Sunday or Saturday, I forgot, and then they would just go right on that road, and their accident happened all the time.
Oh yeah, that's what I noticed, and I never went back. When I went through there, like I don't remember anything because I was just so focused on staying alive. There was cars like passing me, and I'm like. You know, I'm thinking, like, how can he be passing me? Like, I'm on this big, powerful bike, and you're passing me?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's very dangerous because a lot of people go up and down that, and they want to go fast. And some of them are, like, in Porsches and supercars, and they're going as fast as they can.
From the C2 Sky.
Yeah.
So, like...
And also other motorbikes are going really, really fast, too. And there are a lot of accidents and deaths that happen up there.
Right.
Which is why I think I never went back through there again. I just done it once and that was good enough.
So even you were so adventurous and have such a control and experiences over riding motorbikes, do not want to go back or decide not to.
Yeah, it was just not worth it because then it wasn't up to me to keep myself safe. It was these people that were just racing up there and going as fast as they can. And like I said, they're in Porsches and supercars and just going as fast as they could.
Yeah.
And other motorcycles too. So it is very beautiful though. Like if you can go up there and there wasn't all those dangers, it would be great.
Is that the only path to go to Whistler? Because I was thinking, if I'm just a normal person wanting to have a vacation on a Whistler, if I have to go on a path, then other people are just either fast motorbike riders or the fast racing cars. I would be like, oh my God, I don't want to be getting involved in this.
Yeah, well, I think if I had to go up there again on a bike, I probably would, and I would probably be able to enjoy it a little bit more.
Right.
But still, there's that danger aspect of, you know, getting hit by somebody or getting run off the road by somebody that's just going way too fast.
Right.
So I probably wouldn't ride my bike up that way. There's other roads that are way more beautiful than that road.
Don't let them know. Let them just all go to that way if they want to race cars or just, you know, raise up their egos.
Yeah.
Right.
But because I know a lot of places in BC and there's some really great roads to go and ride and enjoy. There's still some of the dangers, but that's what I found with a lot of people that ride motorcycles. They do like the corners and the uphills.
The curves
and everything.
And stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just...
This is some changes, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
It helps you appreciate the way that they're built because they're very... they got really good suspension systems on there, and they're
for the bikes.
They're made to go around corners and stuff. So
yeah,
it's enjoyable to do that kind of stuff, and some of the sites out there are really nice too.
Because I wonder, you know, for somebody who doesn't ride motorbikes or having huge passion towards these racing games, I wonder if you ride that fast on this kind of super diverse path, right? You have to be really focused on riding. Do you really have the space to appreciate the views there while you're riding?
Well, it depends on what kind of road you're on. Like, if it's like, there used to be a really, really nice road from Spence's Bridge to Mert, and it was very windy, uphills and everything. And you almost have to slow down. So while you're slow, you can appreciate the nature too. So sometimes it's not just about how fast you can go through all the corners and everything. It's to like enjoy the fresh air, seeing the birds, the sun, the animals out there.
Right. So I wonder, for those people who either riding motorbikes or racing cars, that they ride so fast there, except for just trying those or appreciating those good engines, how they got built up, appreciate those machines and techniques. Is there any other reason for them to drive that fast there?
I don't think so. I think it's...
Is it like something about, you know, self-awareness or something about ego, or is there anything that makes them be like, oh my god, I'm just so great?
Well, it kind of goes back to the whole racing background. Like, people that get into racing, a lot of time most of the time they end up racing themselves. So, you know, you're timing yourself, just like jogging.
Right.
A lot of joggers are addicted to their watches because they're like, okay, I want to beat my record.
Right.
And so, you know, they're always like trying to beat their record.
Yeah.
And
it's about the game challenging myself.
Yeah.
But like, I know that there are professional racing lanes. How do you call that? Like, you go to these places, and especially for motorbike racing or car racing, that sounds way more safer, right? Like, so what is the reason not to go to those places but then choose to drive on places like Sea to Sky? I understand that the view is very beautiful, but seems like if you go to this professional area or lane, I'm not so sure how they call it, but the competition area.
Yeah, there's racetracks.
What I mean. Yeah, if you ride on the tracks, racetracks, that sounds like safer. Is that like, but this sounds like it's not the only option for those people who to drive there and make it safer, because obviously you can challenge yourself there too, right?
When you go to the racetracks, and that's where it's all about you racing yourself, and you can get into trouble too, because we all have competitiveness, and you know, we're going racing, and you're supposed to be racing yourself, but somebody else is almost the same speed,
right?
And just always in front of you, and you decide that, well, I want to beat him this time,
yeah.
And that's when you can get into trouble. Like,
okay, so if you ride or race on the racing tracks, it has to be yourself. Is there like, is no other people ride at the same time?
Well, they usually put you in categories. You know, if you're like a super fast, experienced rider, they'll put you with other fast, experienced riders, just so you know you're not crashing into each other. You're all kind of like in the same speed.
Right.
And it's supposed to make you safer.
Right.
But in a way, you know, it can get you into trouble, because then you start, well, I want to beat this guy.
Okay.
I don't want to be behind him.
Right.
And
what's the differences between, or what's the different feelings between like riding in the racetracks or riding on the street or places like Cedar Sky. They're both challenging, right? You can meet people who are riding fast and also challenge yourself, but there must be something that's very different if we can wrap up in some short words.
It's, for me, that's a difficult thing to answer because a lot of times I spent most of my time by myself.
I see.
So I was not really riding with anybody. I was just so by myself in my own time and trying to be as safe as I could and enjoying myself as much as I could. And the mentality of going with other people, I'm sure it is fun for, you know, a lot of people. But then...
You're doing this for you.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're traveling with other people, there's always going to be somebody that's slow. And, you know, you might end up get disconnected and that person might feel pressure. Like, oh, I want to keep up. I want to be with the group. And, you know, they'll push themselves too fast and too hard.
Right. And that's not good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know actually somebody who was trying to catch up and end up being in the very in a big tragedy. So there's no point to elaborate it. But I really appreciate that you sharing all these experiences. I was almost fully involved in this kind of imagination of how to feel so just flying the planet or in a different zone, right? Although I was very tempted to feeling and trying on the seat of sky with this kind of race, but I don't think that's a very rational decision, at least for now. And yeah, I actually really feel that people who ride motorbikes are so cool. I get attracted by them, but I do wanted to see that as it becomes more popular, at least in China, we should be more careful and responsible and be fully prepared before we hit on the road, right? Yeah. Well, I really wanted to share talk to you more about this. I really appreciate it. I feel like this is a state of flow for me today too. But we're towards the end of the show, so hopefully we can have you to share more in the future.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure. That'd be great. I enjoy like helping other people and giving good quality experience because it helps us all.
Yeah, your rich experiences are so impressive. So yeah, hopefully we can have more surprises from your sharing in the future. Thank you so much. And thank you for tuning into Coming Negotiator today. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.